Welcome to the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast. Today, we have an amazing guest who is one of the OGs of YouTube. He has multiple businesses, including Sour Strips, Ever Forward. He's an amazing podcaster, a sponsored athlete, and he's also a deadlift king and so much more. So welcome to the podcast, Max Tuning.
What an intro. What's up, guys? Happy to be here.
It's very rare. Usually I take the crown for having the best deadlift. I've only pulled 620, so, and I'm a lot heavier. So I think this is some extra motivation for me.
Well, I think you're getting an exclusive pod while I'm recovering from this hernia surgery. So I don't think heavy deadlifts are in my future at all. They were already kind of on the back burner for me. And now that I've had one hernia fixed, when then they end up finding a second one. So two hernias, I think the strength training might be fully retired for me, but you never know. You never know.
Well, I think that's a great place to start. And I was excited to talk about this because I've actually had an inguinal hernia surgery about 4 years ago now. And did you have laparoscopic or like just typical under the, you had laparoscopic?
Yeah. So,
okay. I was going to say you're a beast then because I had the other and it took me a while. Like to even get up and walk was a bit of a challenge there.
Yeah, I've had some buddies that had the surgery, or one buddy, and he was telling me, he was like, yeah, my girlfriend had to help me like get up and go, you know, go to the bathroom, and like kind of like any bending over would be terrible because it's like right in your core. But luckily I got definitely rough. It's not enjoyable, but it's getting definitely better today than it's ever been.
Yeah, it's a funky one. And even for me, I know I thought the same thing. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'll be able to lift heavy. And like, I really worked hard before my surgery to like get in the best shape I could. And then I'm like, I'm not going to let hold me back. So I ended up pulling like 600 again, maybe like a year after, 6 months after. But it was funny too, because for me, I was like, oh, this is my first surgery, is a big thing. So I was wondering, even for you, like, were you scared to have it done? Was it kind of like, was this like a big thing you're kind of nervous to do? Or do you just kind of face it head on there?
I mean, it's one of those things that kind of just, it sucks that it happens, but I feel like I'm kind of like, it is what it is. Like, of course this happened to me. And I power lift for a decade and hit all these PRs. And then I literally say I'm going to retire, you know, the powerlifting like a year ago. And I stopped the squat bench deadlift. I haven't done it in probably 7 months, 8 months. And then, of course, I get a hernia at the end. So I don't know if it was built up and it developed from all the heavy lifting, or my body is saying, here's what you, because you stopped heavy lifting, maybe the heavy lifting was actually preventing my hernia. I don't know.
Yeah, that was my next question
I
for
think
you. Like,
I was already kind of on the way out with powerlifting. I can, you know, we can dive all into that. But I was already prepared to kind of retire the super heavy lifting with everything I have going on. And now I think I've definitely retired the heavy lifting. So if I needed an absolute reason, it would be this, the icing on the cake.
Yeah, my next question was going to be, do you think it was the lifting that caused it? Because some people will argue, hey, the heavy lifting can contribute to that rip. Like, it's kind of a complicated one there, right? And it's funny, your point of like, maybe stopping lifting did it or something, who knows? Or you thought you're on your way out and clear.
I think it's kind of one of those things that, you know, the three things that it said it could be would be, you know, the heavy lifting, a tough time going to the bathroom, and heavy coughing was the three, like on Google, of this is what causes this hernia, right? Of the tear in the abdominal wall. And it really, in my head, I'm like, unless it was a very microscopic hernia that I happened at the peak of my deadlifting and just never started swelling, then, you know, obviously that's like the first thing I would lean towards. But it's also coincidental timing that I had the flu like a couple weeks, like 2 weeks before I found out I had this hernia. And when I had that flu, I had like a really, really intense coughing, like from being sick for like a week. So it was just like excessive, like heavy coughing, kind of like painful coughing. So that also could have been it. So I like to think it's just my shitty luck. I think it just comes down to, you know, it's I think the world going, Max, chill out for a little bit, you know, just chill out for a little bit. But yeah, I've hit everything that I've wanted to achieve in powerlifting. I mean, there were some like minor goals that I wanted to like in a perfect world, you know, pull on like the deadlift. But as far as like squat and bench, for sure, checked off. Deadlift, checked off. think at a certain point it's the risk to reward. I think the give is a lot more than the take. I think they're like I'm not benefiting as much of lifting the heavy weight. I think it's doing more damage to me.
Yeah, and even I know right now too, you're really motivated with the business side of things and really leaning into that. And that's why we're kind of excited to even bring it back towards the fitness a little bit and to hear how that's changed in your journey and how things have kind of pushed forward. And even a background for everyone listening, for us, like when we started YouTube, Max was one of the OGs. He was kind of leading the pack, documenting his journey, really showcasing incredible deadlifts, which motivated all of us to get stronger and even us to explore powerlifting more, which was absolutely awesome. And he was actually like the OG Chipotle king. He was at Chipotle every day. He would show it. And now we've come to really like Chipotle too. In the winter, we live in Florida and we have more access than we do here. There isn't too many around us. So we ended up going like 60 days in a row pretty much, which was pretty jokes. But it was really cool seeing Max just be consistent with that, being kind of at the front of the fitness industry, seeing it how it's changed. And it's even cool seeing you through your journey and the different roads it takes. And I know Kyle has some really great questions around there.
Yeah. So, like, one of my biggest things is just wondering how the heck do you manage everything? Like, we're the Fit, Healthy, Happy podcast. We try to encourage all our people to stay fit, to stay active, to stay healthy, to stay happy. But I mean, obviously, family life, multiple businesses, just so many fires to put out. Like, do you have any things that you just find really help you stay consistent with just a crazy life in general?
I feel like I have this thing in my head where like I like as much as I hate being stressed out, I almost like this chaotic like fire going on at all times because it just really pushes me or else I get kind of bored. I don't know. I've always just kind of added more to my plate to fill up my time, and I like to push myself. But I guess I've never been someone that like early on I was like, I am someone that can handle a ton of businesses and a ton of stress and all these things. I think it's just naturally, I just gravitate towards doing things that I like doing. And sometimes it happens to be multiple things that I really, really like doing that I'm just like, okay, I want to do all of these things because I love to do all of them, right? I'm not as motivated by, I think money and success is a cool byproduct of like just doing things you like doing, but I money has been never been the main driver for me. It's kind of like why I never came out with, there was never a deadlift bra program. There was never a deadlift pro I could have sold so many deadlift programs, but it just didn't interest me. I never got into like fitness apps. I never did these things because I was like, no, I'm so busy already with things that I love, and I don't love that thing, even if it would make me money. So, I loved clothing, I loved candy, and I love fitness and YouTube. So I was just like, okay, I can do all these things. And very recently I've kind of put the clothing on the back burner and kind of like retired that as much as I've retired the powerlifting because I fell out of love of the passion of clothing manufacturing and fell in love with candy manufacturing. And when the writing's on the wall, when I'm being pulled in too many different directions, I'm like, hey, I loved this thing and now I don't love it anymore. And I think it's okay to change, and it's okay to kind of, do stuff. When y'all mentioned like, me being like the powerlift guy and, even being the Chipotle guy for the longest time, I would always, whenever something would be like my shtick or I'd get known for doing something, I'm like, oh, well, I have to keep doing this so I can be that guy, right? I gotta be that guy that does this thing and I can't ever deviate from it. And it's always like supernatural, but then at some point when I don't want to do it anymore, I'm like, oh crap, do I still need to keep doing this thing? Even though I don't want to do it anymore because people know me for it. And I think having that kind of internal battle. So I've gotten better as I've gotten older, but I had the same time as everyone else in the day. I think what's unique about maybe my story a lot is that I have a very small team and a very small kind of circle. I think I do a lot more in the businesses and everything that I do than people maybe think that I do. Like, I don't have a videographer. I don't have anyone editing my videos. I don't have anyone producing my podcast. I don't have anyone editing my podcast. I do all of those things by myself. And then when it comes to the businesses, I don't have any business partners with Cyrus. I have a great team of employees that are very crucial to what we do, but making mistakes and spending money when I'm not supposed to, and getting to where we've gotten today has just been by, you know, figuring it out, not really having like a blueprint of like what you're supposed to do and in the CPG world. But yeah, I like staying busy, but I'm
You
also
even
very,
do
I get distracted very easily as well.
all your accounting too, right? I think I found
Well, I
out.
finally, I you know what's funny is people probably call me dumb, but I have been using the same accountant. They're based out of they're on the East Coast, and it's a small accounting firm. And I started using them because a buddy of mine was an accountant at this firm, and then he left, and then he was like, "Oh, I'm just gonna pass you along to my manager." And I was like, "Okay, cool." This was back in 2000 and oh shoot, 15 or something, 2004, 15 maybe. And I've just been using the same accountant ever since. And a lot of people are like, I have a lot of friends who use these crazy big accounting firms because their businesses are so big, and mine's just as big as theirs. But they're like, "Max, why do you use this like almost this tiny little accounting firm?" I'm like, "Because they've been with me since day one, so they've like experienced all of the growth and everything that I've done. So I think they're the best candidate for managing my, you know, tax stuff because they've seen me go from, you know, making $300 a month to what I'm doing now, and like so they've grown with me, and so it's actually kind of wild. So I finally outsourced, yeah, the accounting and the bookkeeping. I used to even like document all my receipts at the end of the month. I'd be like, okay, like what did I spend? And now it's like, oh, a bookkeeper, that's really helpful.
Yeah, we were even reflecting too, like we saw on the podcast you did with Russ about the beauty of like slow, solid, consistent growth as well, as opposed to the explosive growth you see with like new quote unquote fitness influencers and what can come around that. And I've noticed too, like I feel like one of your strengths has always been you've had a strong network that you've leaned into, people you trust. We had the amazing opportunity to hang out with your brother for a few days, which was really cool. And to your point of that accountant too, like having them scale with you and having someone you can trust is so amazing. And we were even saying too, like, as cool as it would have been to like blow up from like 1,000 to like multiple million, like it is almost a little bit scary how quick some people are seeing that success or seeing money come in. And I feel like that gradual growth is like one of the best parts of a process because it allows you to adapt with it and to really like not kind of get overconsumed by it. And I guess even like a fun question adding on top of that is like as you've seen the fitness industry change, like obviously being a bit more of a pioneer in the YouTube side of things when there was less people, like what do you like about where it's going and what do you dislike about where it's going?
It's hard for me to answer these questions without sounding like an old head of, you know, my generation was the best generation. I think everyone thinks that you know, the era they were in was the golden era.
2013 to 2017 was a golden era, though. I've even seen a lot of memes. People agree.
I really do think so as well. I think the fitness community was just that. I think it was more of an actual community, especially in the YouTube space. And it's not because there wasn't as many people. It was just like, it felt like a community. When you'd go watch, you know, my video, you would see like my hair's all crazy. You would see, you know, Omar Esoff and you know, Brandon Campbell and Matty Fusaro and Christian Guzman and Nick Wright and Matt Ogus. You'd see everyone commenting on every single one of person's vi every each videos, and like you would see this community, and people were like collabing and people were doing all these things because everyone was just like doing this thing because they love to do it. And I think eventually everything, you know, if it doesn't make any money, it's just a hobby. And I think the fact that a hobby turned into something that can make money is really cool. But now I think that social media isn't a hobby anymore. I think now everyone, when we started, there was very few or like pretty much no one actually making a living from it. So that it wasn't even this like blueprint of like, if I keep doing X, then Y can happen to me, right? And I can quit this life that I hate and be an influencer. It was just, oh, I just like making videos. I'm gonna keep making videos. Whereas now, I would say 9 times out of 10, not saying everyone, but most people are starting social media now to as fast as possible to get to the point where they're making the money and they have the fame and they're getting the free stuff. And I think it's just a different path that people are taking, and there's different reasonings behind it. And yeah, I think you know, it's just interesting. I guess, you know, when I see the up and coming kind of fitness generation, and it's wild seeing it happen because when I'm friends with like Steve Cook and Paige Hathaway and these people who are here kind of, they're not dead, but like, they were here before us. They were the generation before, and they probably saw this YouTube era come up and be like, oh, this is dumb. Like, no, you just need to be like a model and really shredded, and you go to these expos and what are these people showing their days of eating and stuff, and they probably thought we were dumb. And now it's kind of like, and like you see it happening, and now I see the next generation, like it's here, right? It's been here. And I guess I get a little disappointed because it's just so different than what I remember, than I the passion that I had. And now 6 months in, people buying these, like, either people being so like blatantly like promoting steroids, or showing this like flashy life that they got out of nowhere. It's just different. And I guess it's maybe the older generation in me that doesn't necessarily agree with it. I think it's kind of a slippery slope, because I think nowadays there's always gonna be a new person, a new one that's cooler, more jacked, more attractive, whatever. And it's this perpetual kind of hamster wheel that's just gonna kind of churn out the people. And I think a lot of people are just trying to get that quick buck rather than kind of make like a big impact. Because I look at a lot of the people coming up, and I'm like, and I feel like this maybe kind of sounds wrong, but I'm more like, what are you finding motivation out of? Like, what is it, the fact that they're 20 years old and they started taking, every steroid under the sun, and they're jacked and they bought Lamborghini? Like, where is the journey? Like, where is the story, and like the kind of the come up and the struggle? It's so it's I don't know. I like seeing it all, but I'm definitely glad that I was in my world, because I feel like it was a lot more pure of the reasonings behind kind of getting started.
I think that's
Really, I'm just
awesome.
jealous
And
that I don't have a bunch of Lamborghinis. I need to
yeah.
be buying some shit.
Well, no, I respect like just how consistent you've been. And like that's one thing over the years. Like, I'll be honest, I have followed a lot of people on our fitness page on my personal and unfollowed a lot. Whereas someone like yourself, even just like watching your YouTube videos, being subscribed, like it's just always been you and always been like authentic. And I really like that you've just like stayed the course. And I think that's really like that's the best way to live from my personal viewpoint. And even on the topic of slow growth, like it is so easy just to go down a route that you don't even believe in and just rent all these things and do all these things that are just trying to get you fame. But I guess like one of my big questions is I'm actually sitting here drinking one of these ghosts I brought from Florida. It's a lot harder to get things here in Canada. It's a fun fact. I didn't even realize Sour Strips was here because just naturally like everything comes to us like so late. So I brought a bunch back. We do have them, but it's just not as easy to get. Like gas stations are everywhere here.
Amazon sour strips in like 3 weeks, so it's
Done.
coming.
I like it. But I'm curious because I mean, I love what Ghost has been doing. I'm not like we're not actually sponsored by anything, but I was just thinking like you've been there from the start. And I'm pretty like I'm curious to hear the story of like how you became sponsored. Obviously, you have movement, you have a couple other things. Some things have come and gone, but like Ghost is you've been there from the start. Like, how did you become a part of that? And just yeah, anything about that, I'd be curious to learn more.
So Ghost is what's interesting about Ghost is one of the owners, Dan, he started the business. He started Ghost on his birthday, similar to how I started Sour Shows on my birthday. So it's easy to kind of remember, how long it's been, when you kind of like categorize it by birthdays. And so Ghost is 7 years old. I think they just celebrated their 7 year birthday. And which is wild to think that I've been with them for that long. But I remember basically when I came up, the sponsorship world wasn't like it is now. Again, there wasn't people just chucking money at you and trying to get these, big names on social media. I was with Mark Lobliner and with MTS Way, which I always hold a dear place in my heart. It was a kind of a short duration, but I got connected through someone else, and I kind of got it was never like a sponsorship. And the reason I'm talking about this is because I think it's important of why I kind of went to Ghost was with Mark Lobliner and MTS Nutrition, which fantastic products. I think their protein was like just such a great tasting product. Mark was a great guy. And I would, he basically would have, I'd have like a code, and I remember the code was like someone could save 5% off their order on their first order, and then I would make 10% commission. And something that I've actually never told anyone, and I could pull up the emails to back this up of just how cool of a guy I am. I remember emailing Mark and being like, look, I would rather take less commission and offer a bigger discount to people because I think 5% for the first time is just like not that big of a savings. And I'd rather take less money so I can give a bigger discount to people. Like I would rather do that. And he was like, no, like the margins don't really work. And I'm like, yeah, but just pay me less so we can like split the difference, right? And it always felt like this kind of just, here's a guy with a code. Here's a guy with a code, right? And I didn't feel like I was really like a part of the company. I felt like I was just someone with a code. And that's not to downplay MTS. It was more of like that just wasn't a thing, right? And so I wanted to really like be with like I wanted to feel like a part of a company rather than just kind of like, you know, a person with a code. And I remember, so I started, you know, being friends with like Christian Guzman and a bunch of people around 2014. And he was mentioning how him and some other influencers were going to be a part of this new company called Ghost, who Dan and Ryan were starting, and they came from working with Cellucor, and they started their own thing, and they wanted to kind of, you know, do things a little bit different. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is the one. This is sick. Like I could be on a ground floor, but they already had all their athletes. They already had their, I think there was like five. There was, you know, the Stafford brothers, Brooke Evers, Christian Guzman, the online coach, and Nikki Blackadder. I want to say those were like the five or six kind of people because they're starting out small budget and kind of last minute they were shooting some content out in California or like Utah or something. And I guess they were just all chatting about like man, like I wonder, like is there anyone else we should add to this team? And I think both Christian and Nikki both were like, hey, you should really look into this Max guy. And you know, he's one of our friends. I think it was, you know, he's kind of with, you know, a supplement company, but it's nothing really super serious. And they actually respond, Ghost responded to one of my Snapchats. They like Snapchatted me or something and said like, hey, legend, like love what you're doing. Like would love to chat about, you know, potentially getting you on the team. And I remember when that happened, I was like, oh my gosh, this is everything I've been like wanting for. What we you know, everything I've been wanting. And so I had that conversation with him, and it was just I was literally like the last minute add-on. I think like 2 weeks before they launched the brand. I think like the next week I flew down to Texas to shoot the, you know, the Ghost is Coming kind of video where I'm so pale and fat in that video. My hair is all like slicked back and stuff. But yeah, it was super fast happening, but it was like it was kind of just, I think it goes to show you that if you have a good network and you be a good person and you have like positive things that people say about you, you know, it can go a long way. So me just being a cool guy and then, you know, being friends with some people on the team, you know, it was a last minute addition. And then flash forward, you know, we've done some amazing things together as a company with, you know, coming out with a bunch of products and doing, you know, cool collabs with across brands. And I think it was a net positive for everyone involved, you know. So I've loved being with them, and I think Ghost is just it's such a family feel. And I've mentioned this a couple times that, you know, if tomorrow I actually just re-signed for like 2 years, so it's not gonna happen. But it's like if tomorrow Ghost was like, hey Max, your views are kind of dipping. You got the hernia. You're not deadlifting anymore. You're off the team. You're no longer a fitness influencer. I wouldn't actually go to any other supplement companies where, you know, a lot of people, they kind of leave one and then they're like, the next week, they're like, this is the best protein I've ever had, you know? And it just wouldn't be like that. I'm at a different point in my life, I think, but it's been a crazy journey with Ghost, and they've grown so much as a company. And yeah, it's actually wild how long I've been with them. 7 years, damn.
It is crazy because I remember when Ghost first came out, it was like this cool, crazy new thing. The branding's so good, obviously, and I'm sure you even learned from that because your branding is phenomenal as well. Like your
Thank you.
packs of Sour Strips are just so fun. When we went down to Florida, my wife actually used to watch her blogs and everything, and she's like, oh, gotta try these sour strips. And we tried them and we liked them so much, we went to Target the next night and got a few of them to share as well, which was awesome. So it's definitely cool seeing what you pulled from that. And it is crazy too that seeing how big and how these companies have shot up. And it's funny, even Mark Lobliner is a name I haven't heard in a while. Like, there's so much nostalgia and like a lot of these OGs, and to your point of just the people coming out, and even Omar, like the early journey of like, I may not be a Steve Cook or Paige Hathaway, but here's me, my journey, my life, how I make it work. Like, that's what I love the most about it too. And I think that was like some of the most fun. And I'm even curious too, do you, I'm sure the answer is yes, but do you find your fitness journey has helped you a lot in your business journey? Like, do you find you've applied a lot of the principles? And how do you find managing, obviously being so into business nowadays? I mean, you're filming a podcast with us a few days after a surgery. Like, I think that speaks to your work ethic. Like, do you find you pulled a lot from the fitness side towards that? And has it been harder to maintain the level of fitness you want with being more focused into business?
Yeah, I've always promoted fitness as, I mean, really to anyone, but I, as a man, I speak to other men maybe in the space, and I say that, as I think everyone on this planet, assuming you're physically able to do some level of fitness, everyone should do some level of fitness, right? And obviously I've gravitated towards the powerlifting and the strength training, resistance training, but I think not only the I think fitness has so many carryovers to obviously you're going to look better, you're going to feel better, you're going to live longer, right? But just the mental things that it triggers of your confidence, your ability to have discipline and restrictions, and because if you want to achieve a lean physique or a big physique or a strength related goals, or you're losing weight, you can't just bullshit around. You have to have a very, I have to understand what I'm eating. I have to be restrictive on my diet. I have to be disciplined in training. I can't, miss these sessions because I'm not going to reach my goal. And I think over time, doing all these things just molds you into a better man, into a better person, into a better human, right? Because you're min-maxing your character. And I think fitness, not only the physical attributes of like doing it, but just the carryover that it has like in your life. And I think that applies a lot into business of having that same kind of discipline of having resisting temptation. It's easy to go for the quick money, but the long game is a better one. It's easy to maybe go down the route of steroids, but the negatives can kind of outweigh it. And I've always promoted I've promoted natural lifting because of really I'm just scared of my body rejecting the steroids and doing something negative to me. But I think that the long play is like what the focus should be, that fitness is a marathon, not a sprint, and you should almost treat your business like that as well, with little caveats here and there. And then to touch on like the fitness level, I'd be lying if I'd said that my interest in fitness and even my physique is the same or even close to like what it was back in the day. But before I started all these businesses, like my only focus was lifting weights. I was out of college, didn't have very many responsibilities, wasn't in a relationship, just wanted to hang out and, drink with my friends and go to work and make some money so I can, go to the bars on the weekends, maybe, flirt with some girls and, look better with my shirt off. And that was like my only responsibilities, right? So of course I was hardcore, never missing a session. Every session was very like intense. It was focused. I was like looking forward to every session. I was like, oh, I can't wait. And 2 weeks I get a hit, 550 on my Jim Windler 531 program on my powerlifting. And I was like, just obsessed with it. And then, and I could just, when I was lifting, that's why if you ever go back and watch all my deadlift videos, you would see me always do this like kind of like I'd stare at the bar. I'd always be like 10 feet away from the platform, and I'd kind of like be jumping around. I'd look like I'm gonna start crying, and like I'm just like amped up because I'm getting in this like mental state that like I can't even begin to explain, where like I can feel it when it's like happening, and it just helps me like rip the weight off the ground. And if I'm not in this mental state, it's very hard for me to do deadlifts at a heavy weight. So having that intensity had a big carryover. And then when I started getting like busier and busier, nowadays it's impo and then I started filming so much more of my videos. So then my content started being like, Okay, Max, like sacrifice a little bit of the intensity because, hey, you need to set the tripod up and have seven different angles of you doing this exercise. So, you have to stop doing the exercise, focus on the shot. Did you get it in frame? What is the next clip? So I'd be thinking about filming working out more than the actual working out. So it just evolved over time. And then I think my like peak physique of the leanest to most muscle ratio, it's funny saying that as someone who's like, 165 pounds, but was probably like 2018. 2018 when I went over to like visit like Ibiza with like Rob Lipset in the UK and like Australia and stuff. That was probably like just the best I've ever looked. And I can definitely like look back and be like, damn, like I was jacked and I don't look like that now. But nowadays, I used to put the gym over everything, and now I fit. I used to fit my life around fitness, and now I fit fitness around my life. And I think it takes a certain level of just life experience for you to get to that point. And like, it's hard to explain to people until they kind of go through it when they're like, "Oh, the gym isn't the most important thing in the entire world. It ain't that serious." And if you're not making all your money from the way you look and whatever, then sacrificing relationships or friendships or going out to have a longer session in the gym, it's like the long game isn't there. And then when business started happening, now it's impossible for me to just turn off my brain when I'm working out. I can't. I have so much like stress and thoughts on my plate that I can't just throw my music in, put my phone on airplane mode, and just be laser focused in the gym. I'm like, okay, we have that shipment coming in tomorrow. Oh my God, we have to spend extra money on this. And I just, it's like impossible for me to switch it off. So my relationship with fitness now is to try to just maintain that level of maintain my physique as good I can while balancing it with my life. But the intensity is definitely not there as much. And I've been working out for over a decade doing the same exercises. So I feel like at some point it's gonna kind of go down, and I'm not stepping on stages once a year that boosts my confidence or my motivation in the gym. So I love working out, I love fitness, I love strength training, but it's definitely not my everything anymore.
Yeah, and I think that's awesome. Like, even I noticed a theme here of like longevity. And to your point now, like, fitness is being marketed more as take a bunch of sauce, you'll look really good, you'll look amazing, you'll get a Lambo and you'll have six girlfriends type of thing. Like, it's
Yeah.
kind of crazy. And before it was like, here are the small incremental changes I'm making to see more progress. And I think even having that long-term view, even for us, we started as Colossus Fitness. We were young in university. We wanted to be massive. I want to get as big as I could, as strong as I could. And now this podcast, we pushed over to it being fit, healthy, happy. And that was really targeted because, like you said, I think life has so many different components and journeys, and where people will go wrong, even for us with our coaching, is they'll want to do everything immediately. And I think that's just how culture is now. It's like, I want something, I'll get it now. But that component of like letting fitness have a priority in your life, like you said, when that was number one, you had an event, but still finding a way to get it done, to still make it a priority to a degree. And like you said, to have that adapt with as your life and priorities have changed, and for that to be okay. And then having that consistent, slow gain progress and mindset, I think, is so important. That's something we really focus on as well, because some people come in so quick and then they come out so quick, and there's a price that comes alongside that. So I think that was really
Yeah,
well
and
said.
like, and I mentioned how I'm kind of like shelving powerlifting at the moment, and that ties into like my focus on business is because I only enjoyed powerlifting when I was hitting PRs and like hitting these big numbers in the gym. And for my body weight, I hit a 501-pound squat, 650-pound deadlift, 335-pound bench. Well, I know that one's not impressive, but for my body weight of 100 and under 170 pounds, hitting a 500 squat and a mid 600 deadlift is like elite level shit, right? And for me to go beyond those numbers takes a very strict focus regimen of You can't miss your sessions. Every gym you go to better have the bars that you need. You don't, when you travel, you better take your belt and your shoes. And like I was able to like not worry about anything else. And for me to hit those num to get above those numbers at this stage in my life with everything I have going on, I think it's just impossible. I think it's you know, it's not of interest to me anymore because I would have to, hey, sorry, can't do that this weekend. I gotta train. Hey, you know, hey, my friends want to work out with me. Sorry, no, guys, I have to go do my powerlifting in the corner over there. Like, I don't want to do that anymore. Like, I don't want, you know, when I was peak powerlifting, I was like, all my buddies powerlifted, and I would, you know, now I'm like by myself, right? And with everything going on, like the amount of dedication I'd have to commit to the gym that I'm not willing to commit, to go above those numbers is astronomical, and I'm not having fun, you know, deadlifting, you know, 500 for sets of seven or eight. Like, it just, that doesn't interest me. I'm like, no, I want to hit doubles and triples of massive weight all the time. And so yeah, it's I think it was a cool point in my life. And now we're on to just keeping this Adonis body
I
year
love that.
round, you
And
know.
I respect it so much because I feel like, I mean, we've coached close to 4,000 people now and just busy business owners, just busy lives, lawyers, just so many different things. And I think where some people struggle, we obviously try to find ways to help them out and keep them motivated is they often when before coming into the program, they'll just not really have that like longer term approach and not realizing that we can scale things down and we can switch things up. And also, a really fun way to keep going. Obviously, you've been in fitness, what, 15 plus years now lifting. We've been close to the same. And it's just about trying different things. Like, we've done multiple powerlifting meets similar to you, done a physique show, just done so many different things. And it's really cool to just like try different things along the journey, see what sticks. But also, like, on those busy weeks and those busy months and shipments going crazy for you, like, to still maintain a certain level and be able to scale back a bit, but not just throw it all out
Yeah,
the
and
window.
I think it's all about just like, it comes back to what I said earlier about doing, like, I only do things that I love doing. And like now it's like I like lifting with my friends and doing, you know, bodybuilding movements. I like doing that, right? And it's like, could I offset a lot of my workload to put more focus on the gym? Absolutely, right? So when I said it's impossible, it's not impossible. It's just like but I would rather, I am more interested in me physically working on my businesses than me hitting deadlift PRs. And so, because I am more interested in working on the business than getting even stronger, then that's why I'm not going to sacrifice business so I can, for my strength, or like, you know, delegate out. Like, I could do those things, but I don't want to. And I think it's like having peace and like understanding with yourself. And I thought when I was, even forever ago, I was like, if I don't hit PRs, no one's going to keep watching me. I have to keep getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And I have to be the deadlift bra. I have to be the deadlift guy. I have to deadlift. Like, Max is the deadlift guy. He is deadlift. And if I stop doing that, am I going to be letting people down? And I think once you start being like, what actually makes you happy? Like, what do I want to do? What does Max enjoy doing with his time? And if I've fallen out of love with powerlifting, I don't need to keep powerlifting, you know, to prove it to everyone that I'm the hardcore powerlifter. I think if anything, it shows more of my authentic self of like, I do things that I love to do. And like, when I do them, I'm going to do them to my full potential because like my passion is in these, and I'm not having my little hands in everything. I have, you know, a couple main things that I focus on, and I do well at the things that I fully focus on. So, I think it shows growth, and I think it shows maturity. And as weird as that is to correlate that to, you know, maybe my giving up of like powerlifting, I think it's just like, you know, I'm not a fake individual. I do exactly what I want to do. And if I don't want to do it, I don't do it.
And that like that just shows the, you know, being genuine and also just like not having an ego. And I think that's where a lot of people struggle is they just if they are known as that, they need to hold on to that. If they start something, like everyone says, like, go, keep going, never quit, all this stuff. But it's like, what actually makes sense here? And I think just maturing and being able to
You
realize
also
that.
like got to be realistic with like, especially strength training is, as much as everyone would like to say, like, you are not going to indefinitely get stronger. Like, you know, I'm not just going to, the deadlift weight is not just going to keep going up. I'm not going to be, you know, I'm not going to be squatting 700 pounds at, you know, my body weight. Like, it's just not in the books for me. Me benching 405 is Like you have to be realistic. So I think when I've hit a lot of these monumental goals that I wanted to hit, it's kind of like, okay, I can be the guy that's like, back in my day, I deadlifted 650 pounds, like I don't need to prove anything to anyone. I hit, internal goals, and now it's on to the next thing. And like,
So,
let me pull the 650-pound deadlift of business, like
yeah.
that's what
On
I want to do.
the topic of like switching things up a bit, because obviously Sour Strips, 25 million plus bags, like congratulations on that. And
Thank you.
I know, and it's only going to grow. So when you first started, obviously clothing ever forward, obviously, you decided to switch things up and prioritize, hey, Sour Strips is it. That's where we're dialing in right now. But I remember back when you started the brand, and I'm curious for you to share with our viewers, like when you created that name, because Colossus Fitness is big, jacked, strong, but ever forward, like where did that come from and what does that mean to you?
Yeah, so ever forward is a phrase that my been in kind of in my family. My dad got it from the military, and kind of it kind of is what it is, right? It has that ever forward, always progressing, always striving for forward progression in life. Kind of ever forward, it literally is what it means. And it didn't really mean a lot. It didn't really, like, I knew that my dad would always say it. My family, even before I started the brand, had like tattoos of it on their body and stuff. So it was more of like a, I wanted to start a business because everyone was kind of doing like clothing. So I was like, okay, how can I start this business? But I want to separate myself from it. And I was like, instead of coming up with a arbitrary like name and like, hey guys, this is what this name means. This is what this made up phrase or word or combination of words means. And here's why I came up with it kind of thing. It was more like, hey, here's a phrase that does mean something to me. I'm telling you exactly what it means to my family and, my dad. And, here's why it's called that. And, if it can translate and correlate into your life, and, then that's great. But, so it was more of like a, it was a clothing brand that had a reasoning behind the name of it. And then it started as this motivational clothing brand. And then quickly I got into things of like, oh, I want to make other things that I like wearing, like button downs and chino pants. But how do you make a motivational pair of chino pants, right? So it eventually got to the point where like, okay, it doesn't need to be a motivational clothing brand. It can just be a clothing brand that, if you want to know the reasoning of why it's called that, there is a backstory to it that has a very personal, meaning, from my dad. So, yeah, that's the
So
origin story.
I love that. And I guess I heard you say something the other day and I had to pause, like, when you hear something and you're just like, wait, what? Like that was great. And you essentially what you said was sometimes you have to go ever backwards to go ever forwards.
That's right.
Like what does that mean to you? And could you explain a little bit? I know what you mean, but I'm curious to
Yeah,
hear your
I
take.
mean, it's similar to kind of like, the whole, like, it's a quirky way of saying the 2 steps back to, 3 steps forward, or 1 step back, 2 steps forward kind of thing. It's just like, I think a lot of times people think that everything is just going to be going like up and up and up and up and up, and they're loving the forward momentum, the growth. But as soon as they have like one setback, they think the whole world is kind of crashing down on them, or thinks it's all over, or if it's, lasting a little longer in the setback, or maybe there's 2 setbacks, right? And it's always taking a look at the bigger picture and understanding that, like, sometimes there's going to be, it's, I think life is all about learning from your mistakes. And the key is to just not make those mistakes repeatedly, right? So if you have these errors, if you have these emotional, motivational, or, emotional setbacks, or, monetary setbacks or business setbacks, it's like, okay, what, there's always a reason to like why things happened. And it's important to like look at, why did this actually happen? It's like, oh, I don't know. It's like, no. What did you do? What did the business do? What did this person do? Like, something caused this. And then it's being like, okay, how do I make sure that this doesn't happen like this again? And then that's how you go ever forward, right? And so I think it's just a mindset thing. And it takes a lot of internal battle to kind of like accept, I guess, because it's very easy to be super stoked when everything's going great, but the second that anything, bad happens, you're just like, oh my gosh, this isn't happening to anyone else. No one else is dealing with this kind of stuff. I'm the why is this happening to me? Poor me. There's a black cloud over me. And you know, everyone deals with stuff on their own levels. And you know, everything I talk about now is more like in business terms. So it's like anyone's business you look at, you know, you're looking at it through this like lens of what they want you to perceive. And every business is going through some bullshit, some struggles, some loss of money, some errors, some setbacks, some legality issues. You know, they just aren't showcasing it. And so it's understanding that, like, every, you know, no one's perfect, no business is perfect. And it's, you know, just about learning, adapting, evolving, and continuing on.
I love that, man. I probably have about 20 other questions down, but I don't want to, keep you here. I know time is valuable, and honestly, I know a lot of people are like this. So I say, hey, let's do a part two if we get enough positive feedback. I'm not sure if Josh had any other questions, but on my note, I wanted to see if there was just we're big on quotes. We always say them. That's just kind of who we are, and that's what we do every podcast. Is if there's anything that stands out to you, just for the audience, just anything that just you really kind of resonate with. I'm putting you on the spot here, just like every other question we are. I'd
Gosh.
love to hear that.
You know, I feel like I used to be way more of a motivational quote kind of guy, and I used to always just, you know, lean to the ever forward as the
Hey, that
mantra.
works.
Now I always gravitate towards just goofy shit, and like in my head, I just like it's like the most powerful quote I think that aligns with just like life is just like it is what it is. You know, it's like sometimes like you need to accept things for what they are and at their face value. And it's about being like, okay, this is happening to me. It is what it is. What am I going to do about it? Am I going to sulk? Am I going to cry? Am I going to complain? Am I going to be happy? Am I going to be sad? It's like how you react to things has a great impact on like, you know, what the future of that outcome is going to be. So I really wish I had some.
Well,
I need to read more like motivational books and have some
that's okay.
lines.
It's kind of like the quote, life is 10% what happens to you, 90% how we react to it. Right there. That's your
Yeah.
quote. Pretty much what you just said in a
Max
indirect
tuning. Add
way.
max tuning on the end of that.
Sorry,
You miss every
man.
shot that you don't take. Michael Scott, Wayne Gretzky.
That's my favorite one. I'm a big Office fan too. That's the best. And yeah, I think that's such a great way of putting it. And even I love that mindset of just ever forward. And I think that goes into what you were mentioning there of just how you react to life, and it is what it is. Like, as simple and funny as it is, like people always say, it is what it is, but it's very true. And I think even with the hernia at first, I felt that way, and I was making such good progress. I was feeling so good, and I'm like, this is it. It's brutal. We've all had those moments where like, this is going to be such a big setback. I don't know how it's going to affect my life. My business is going to have this big hiccup. But to your point too, we've really been focusing ourselves on being like, how can I not be a victim to circumstance, and how can I do what I can do to get through it, no matter what life throws at you, and adapting and adjusting and moving forward and being ever forward. I think those two really connect quite nicely. And I think that's a great theme. And to your point, Kyle, of like, if I had any questions, I was going to say the quote one too, because we definitely do love it. And I think when you have those thoughts in your mind, and even it is what it is, it's almost freeing. Like, if you were to leave and get hit, I mean, heaven forbid, knock on wood or something, like by another driver or something, it is what it is. Like, you can sit and cry about it, or you can get on with it, find a solution. I think that was incredibly well said, and it was absolutely awesome having you on here. I think you dropped some great knowledge bombs, which was killer, and it's really fun too, taking a walk back through the memory lane that is like the fitness and how things have changed in the industry rather.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, guys. I appreciate coming on the pod and sharing it. I feel like I ramble a lot and I say I talk for a while and not sure if I said it, say anything, you know, but
I feel the same way sometimes,
appreciate it.
but people keep listening, so I think that's a good sign.
Yeah.
Do you want to say, I guess we'll put your Instagram down below. So yeah, anything else you want to shout out before we head off?
Just come check me out on YouTube. Luckily, with a weird name like Max with two X's and this tuning that everyone misspells in the last name, it's very easy to find me. So come check me out. You might love me, you might hate me, but either way, I'm gonna be in your life in some way, you know? Whether it's on the podcast you didn't think I'd be popping on or the candy at your local store, you can't escape this guy and this dog.
That's awesome.
All
Well,
right,
yeah, thanks
dude.
so much for being in today.
Absolutely, guys. Talk soon.
All right. Peace and love always.
Boom.
Bye.